afternoon. Ted and I spent the last 8 days in Hawaii for our district conference. We came back at midnight, and he preached this morning at San Jose, and then he was with the Deeper Life worship team all afternoon. So I told him, I'll be fine without you. So he just texted me around 4:30 saying that they're leaving the church. So let's pray. Father, we devote this time to your hands, and we open up our hearts and our ears to hear what you are speaking to your church. We pray that your words would not return void. And we thank you that you love New Vine so much. You love the people here, and you see every single person who is sitting here, and you have a special message for them. So we receive it individually and as a body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to take you back to 2007, summer of 2007. I was pregnant with my third, Rachel. I was about 2 months, end of my second trimester. I was pretty big. And my family took a trip to China. So I had a five-year-old, three-year-old, and one on the way. And every entrance, exit point in the airport, I was caught. And they said, remove what you're hiding under your tummy, in under your shirt. And I was like, I didn't, with the translators on the team, we're like, she has a baby in there. And they were like, no such thing in China. And it didn't happen one or twice, but it happened at every security check as we were flying through several airports in China. And we landed at Livingstone's Village. You guys have heard of this orphanage many times. There was a team of us that went there. And one night, I was up all night because I felt labor pains. I've had a miscarriage before. I've delivered two children, so I know what labor pain and miscarriage pains feel like. And I was scared to get up and go to the bathroom because I just thought everything's gonna come out. And I went through this intense pain all night long. I was afraid to wake up anyone. It was just really, really scary for me. And as the new day dawned, as the sun rose, it all disappeared. And I went to my team and I shared with them the intense pains I went through. And I said, I'm not sure why this happened to me. And what the Lord showed us as a team was that this is what women go through in China. There's a deep hatred towards girls, and I'm carrying girl number three. And whether they chose on their own to abort a child to avoid the social stigma, or they were forced to abort, they go through this labor pains, whether it's miscarriage, abortion, or even abandoning their child on the street. And so that morning, we spent the majority of the day just really praying as a team, asking the Lord, why did Sandy go through this? And what are you showing us about the spirit of the land? And we really spent time praying to the Lord to have mercy upon the land of China for the leaders, as well as the laws and policies that have been in place for so long that you could only have one child. And there's a deep rejection and hatred of girls. And so I share this story with you because today's topic is intercession. As New Vine Church has entered a sermon series on prayer, today's topic is intercession. And I want to make this message today as simple as possible for you. And I want to define intercession as standing in the gap. Say to another person, standing in the gap. It's very simple. Intercession is standing in the gap. We represent people to God, and we represent God to people. There's a two-way representation. We stand in the gap, God on one side, people on the other side. Just as Jesus came as our mediator and as our priest, as a bridge between a holy God and sinful man, intercession has that very role of standing in the gap. When we come to the Lord, we bring the needs of the people, the sins of the people to the Lord, saying, Holy God, when you see people, you see that we are broken and we are in need of forgiveness and restoration. But when we come before the people, we say, repent. There is a holy God that wants to love you and have a reconciled relationship with you. So there's a representation on both sides. I'm going to have you click to the first slide. God wants all people to pray. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're called to be an intercessor. It's not only for Pastor Douglas. It's not only for the leaders of New Vine. It's for you, Luis. It's for every single person here. If you claim to know Jesus and follow him, you're automatically enlisted to be his intercessor. Whether you like it or not, today God has marked you to be an intercessor. We read in Hebrews 7:25. Oh, can you go to the next one? Let's read this. Jesus always lives to make intercession for them. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. More than that, who has raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. I think Ted shared a couple of weeks before that Jesus sits at the right hand of God, and what he is doing is he is interceding for each and one of you. He's not praying that you'll have straight A's in school. He's not praying that you'll get this great mansion and this nice Porsche car, but he is interceding for each of us to fulfill the will of God in our lives. And the Holy Spirit is also interceding for us. So the next slide, Romans 8:26. Let's read this together. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. If you don't have anyone praying for you, you have at least two. Who is it? Jesus and the Holy Spirit. They are fighting for your life. They are fighting for your life, saying, come on, realign yourself to God's will. And the Holy Spirit brings conviction to us, saying, there needs to be a repentance. There needs to be a life change. They are praying for you. They are praying for me. But we have Satan, who is doing the opposite work of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I think it's in the next one. Revelation 12:10. Let's read this. Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of the brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. Satan is after our hearts. He's bringing accusation day and night. That is what he is doing before the throne room of God. But we have Jesus, who has finished the work for us. The victory is ours, but we need to hold on to that. We need to claim that every day. In Ezekiel chapter 22, it talks about God calling the prophet Ezekiel, and he's telling them that my heart is grieving. When I look at the land, the spiritual leaders of this land has walked away from me. I'm not going to read through this, but I'm just going to highlight in chapter 22, God highlights the prophets devour human lives. They have taken treasure and precious things. And he says, your prophets see false visions and make up lies. Then God tells Ezekiel, your priests have done violence to my law and have profaned holy things. The priests have made no difference between holy and common. They have not taught the difference between unclean and clean. They have disregarded my Sabbaths, so I am profaned among them. Then he tells Ezekiel, your princes are like wolves tearing the prey, shedding blood, destroying lives to get dishonest gain. All the leaders, spiritual leaders of the land, have walked away from the Lord. And then he tells Ezekiel, your people, not just the spiritual leaders, but the people, have practiced extortion and committed robbery. You oppress the poor and needy. Imagine the grief and pain that the Lord has as he sees the people. And then in Ezekiel 22, God says, I searched for a man among them who would repair the wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land so that I might not destroy it, but I found no one. And then the next verse says, therefore, God poured out his indignation upon them. God consumed them with the fire of his wrath. Today, as we look up around Mountain View area, there's a lot of things that we see that are not pleasing to the Lord. And today, God is saying, is there anyone in New Vine who will stand in the gap for the city of Mountain View and beyond. Is there anyone who will stand in the gap on behalf of the land? Is there anyone who is going to plead God's mercy on behalf of the people? Is there anyone who's going to bring that spirit of repentance among the people? What I heard today as we were praying was that the victory has already been won. As God invites us to be an intercessor, he's asking, will you walk and claim that victory for yourself, for the city of Mountain View, for New Vine every single day? It's available to us. We just have to access it. Are we ready to battle together with others to walk in victory? Your prayers for Alice is one step closer for her healing and victory, but we must battle together in prayer. It's not just wishful thinking, but we say, Lord, you are the God who heals. You are the God who is able to restore. You are the God who can remove every cancerous cell in Alice. So we join you, God. We join the ministry of Jesus. We join the ministry of Holy Spirit, and we're going to battle together by bringing our prayers together as a church. I got these 5 points of being an intercessor as I was on the beach in Hawaii. I'm going to share this with you. 5 characteristics. I'm going to keep it simple. We must know God, be humble, obey God, be faithful, and pray with others. I'm going to go through this. Intercession requires us to know God. Intercession must flow out of the knowledge of who God is, not what we choose and pick about who God is, but the reality and the truth and the whole character of God. In James 4:3, it says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your possessions. 1 John 5:14, this is a confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we pray according to God's will, he hears us. We are not just praying wishful thinking. We don't treat God as some sort of genie in a bottle, thinking if we gather everyone and just pray loud and pray hard and pray continuously, he'll hear us. But our heart is to align with God's will for us and the church and for this nation and the city in order to see God's will fulfilled. God's will for each of us is that we become formed into the image of Christ. If we look at the life of Christ, he went through a pathway of suffering. And if God's will is that we become like Christ, he may allow suffering in our lives in order to fulfill the will of Christ for us to become like his son. Each of our stories may look different. Each of our levels of suffering and pain and hardship may look different. But God's will is that you and I become into the likeness of Christ. How are we individually and as a church growing in our knowledge of God? God is not just a God of love and compassion. He's also a God who is righteous, and he gets indignant, and he has righteous anger. He hates sin, but he also loves and forgives. Do we have a full picture? Are we growing in the full picture and knowledge of who God is? Let's not pick and choose a God that seems comfortable to us, but let's embrace God for all of who he is. 2, intercession requires us to be humble. Oftentimes, when we want to pray for someone, and this is my story, when I want to pray for someone, I start comparing my life with that other person, saying, oh my goodness, I can't believe this person made so many mistakes in their life. Why are they still struggling with this? Why can't they do this and why can't they do that? So I want to share a story of my parents. My parents celebrated their 50th year anniversary a couple of years ago, and I have a picture of them. This is at their 50th year wedding anniversary. And for as long as I can remember, my parents hated each other. There was constant fighting. My dad was an alcoholic. He spent all our family finance. We moved literally every single year because of finances. But my mom made it packing and moving very fun. She's like, hey, let's pack up again and let's see how we can decorate this new space. So I became a professional packer. Ask Ted, when we go on trips, I pack really well. Douglas, I think you and I share a common gift, right? But later as I became an adult, I realized, oh, it wasn't our own choice to move, but we faced financial crisis one after another. And there were years when my mom warned us that we may have to separate from dad. Or when my dad, as a kid, he had a graveyard shift. And so at night, as my mom gathered the three children, we prayed for our dad. And it was in desperation to pray for his salvation and for his heart to turn to the family. But through those prayers, we became very prideful, thinking, well, dad is on that side, and we're on this side. We're the good people, and he's the evil man. And so even through the good intentions of interceding and praying for our dad, there became a wall where actually a deep hatred towards my dad grew in my sister, myself, and my brother. It was about the last 10 years, and I never knew this until this anniversary. A lot of their church people came. There were at least like 20, 30 people. And their church friend said, can you share a testimony of what kept you all these 50 years? And it was the first time that their church friends realized that they suffered in their marriage for close to 4 decades. And my mom openly said, I hated this man. And she said, all these years, I've been praying for him, that God would change him. But it was only in the last 10 years, God showed me that I'm the one that needed to change. And she said, once I began to change, and God broke my pride and my self-righteousness, was I able to see this man as a gift for me. And 50 years, what a journey it has been. But my dad is now a very broken man. And my sister, my brother, they're all missionaries. I'm in ministry. And when my dad was against all of us going into ministry, now he says in tears, I don't deserve children like my children. I was a terrible father. I was a terrible husband. And who am I to deserve children who really love and follow the Lord? When I say intercession requires us to be humble, we must realize that the people that we are praying for, we are on the same page. We're all broken. We all are in need of God's grace. Our stories will look different, but that separation between us and God is the same. We all need Jesus, our Savior. Is there a person you have been burdened to pray for, or you have been praying for, and what is the attitude you come before the Lord as you pray for that person? I think God wants us to do a heart check. I think so many times in the past, and even now, I get tempted in the name of, let's pray for this person, I start speaking negative words against someone. And it's really to elevate myself, thinking, well, this person needs Jesus, so we got to pray for them. And there's such a pride that comes out if we do not approach the gift of intercession with humility. I want to bless all of us to receive God's compassion and humility as we stand in the gap for people, because we are all in need of Jesus himself. Again, our stories will look different, but we are all in the same need of Jesus. Intercession requires us to obey God. As we pray for people and situations, God may be speaking some prompts to us along the way. So going back to Ezekiel, he was a prophet and a priest, and he was taken into exile to Babylon. And most of the messages in the book of Ezekiel is about warning after warning after warning. Can you imagine being a prophet speaking God's judgment against his people? Ezekiel chapter 4. Just imagine with me, God commands Ezekiel to lay down on his left side for 390 days. After that, he says, turn to your right side and lie down for 40 days. One day equals every year that the nation was rebellious against God. And God didn't just leave him alone to move around. He bolted him down with cords all around Ezekiel so that he would not be able to move around. Imagine lying down on both sides, 390 plus 40, and then 40 days, and then God tells him to eat very specific bread that's baked over cow's dung. all this didn't make sense to Ezekiel, and the food he was asked to eat was totally unclean to him. And Ezekiel says, I have never defiled myself. From my youth until now, I have never eaten what died of itself or was torn by beast, nor has tainted meat, nor has tainted meat come into my mouth. Imagine what is going through Ezekiel as he's lying there. He's probably desperately crying out, God, have mercy upon your people. This is hard. And he feels the weight of God's judgment on him. Sometimes God asks us to do ridiculous things, like Cheryl said, the Sharpie blessing. And I'm glad she mentioned this because I'm going to show you a picture of what we did in Mexicali. So there's a picture. 3 years ago, there were 40 adults and youth that went down to Mexicali. And they, one of the projects we did was to build a side room that was to be dedicated for children and youth ministries. And so as we were preparing the walls and the dry sheet and all that, I'm like, let's go to the store and get Sharpies. And I said, Pastor, can we write blessings all over the wall? He's like, I've never heard of such a thing, but do whatever, as long as it doesn't show as the last product. So 40 of us, we worshiped at that place and we got Sharpies, and it was so fun to receive God's words and blessings and promises for this church in Mexicali. And we had so much fun. This is just a few pictures that I found, but the Sharpie blessing. And then next picture, so after we left, they finished this building, and that is now a little more finished up. But that's inside those walls are all the blessings that we gave over to this church. As we stand in the gap for people and situations, what is God prompting your heart to obey? It can be something ridiculous as what Ezekiel did, or it can be something fun like the Sharpie blessing. There's been times when God just brings different people to mind, either through a dream or just through my thoughts. And I remember this past week at our district conference, I met one of the brothers in Sacramento. I met him once, but we exchanged phone numbers because we went there to set up the preschool in the Arabic center. And out of nowhere, I don't know him at all, out of nowhere, I had this dream about him, and that he was the message was about what kind of wife he would find. And I thought, oh no, I don't want to get into that. I don't even know if he's single or married. But the message was so strong, and I felt like God was saying, just text him. You have his number. And I'm like, he doesn't know me. I don't know him. This is going to be so weird. But I wrote him. I said, this is very random, and if this doesn't resound with your spirit, just ignore it. He gets the text, and he was like, this is what I needed to hear today. And this week I saw him, and he said, actually, right before your text came, I was looking at a girl. And when your text came, we were 1 month into kind of getting to know each other, and we're getting engaged and getting married this summer. And he said, your word that you shared was a turning point for me. And I thought, wow, I get to be part of his story. If I never sent that, I wouldn't have so much joy telling you the story. But it's amazing that when God sometimes prompts our heart to go to someone or to pray for someone or give somebody a hug or go down the street and talk to someone, you never know what that defining moment can be in that person's life and how we can be part of God's story in them. Intercession requires us to be faithful. It's a long-term investment. From Ezekiel 4, where Ezekiel's lying down on his side, to Ezekiel 22, where God is searching for the man who would stand in the gap. We come to Ezekiel 37. For those of you who may be familiar, this is the famous chapter of the Valley of Dry Bones. And I thought Ezekiel has proven his faithfulness, even in the hard ministry of sticking through his assignment of being God's prophet. God brings Ezekiel to this valley, and all he sees is dry bones. God tells Ezekiel to prophesy over the bones and say, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and you will cause flesh, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. How ridiculous is that? That he is prophesying to this all these dry bones that they will have skin now and they will have the breath of God and live. So Ezekiel prophesied as he was commanded, and he prophesied. There was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bones, flesh, skin covered them. When he prophesied, breath came into these bones. And then it says, they lived and stood on their feet, and it was an exceedingly great army. How amazing that Ezekiel pushed through his ministry of intercession, of prophecy, of priesthood, to come to this place where he can see life and breath. Standing in the gap for people requires a long-term investment. It requires faithfulness. This past week, Ted has been praying for decades for reconciliation with his father. When he was 4 years old, his parents separated. The only time I saw his dad was just twice, right before we got married, and he did not give us his blessing. He actually didn't even come to the wedding. I talked to him a few times over the phone, but once we started having kids, Ted's plea for the dad was, it's okay if you don't see me and Sandy, but can you please meet your flesh and blood? Abigail's now 17, and we have a 9-year-old. And when we found out that our district conference was in Hawaii, Ted's father lives in Hawaii. He called him way back, said, can you make sure you're in town on these dates? And we weren't sure if he was going to keep his word, but he was there this week. He had already said, come over to my place on Thursday, Friday, Saturday after the conference. But on Sunday, three of my younger kids, we all had breakfast together. And it was the most surreal moment for us because I thought, Ted is turning 51 this week. He looks young, right? Can you imagine for almost 50 years, this has been the cry of my husband. And for 20 years since we met him, 20 years ago when we were getting married, this has been our prayer that the father's heart would turn back to his son. So my oldest daughter, Abigail, said, I'm a junior in high school. I can't leave school. I need to. You guys go on the trip by yourself. Sunday after I see what's happening with the father and my three children, I come back to the hotel and I told Ted, we need to fly Abigail in. And we were looking at prices. We're like, this is the most ridiculous thing. Who flies to Hawaii? What high school flies to Hawaii within a 3 days notice? But I said, I'm not sure if we'll ever see the dad again. So we flew her in on Thursday morning. And for the next 48 hours from Thursday to Saturday, it was the most healing time for Ted's father, for Ted, myself, and our four children. And he talked my kids out. He sat us down, talked to them for hours and hours and hours, things that Ted has never even heard his father say. The reasons why things have happened, the reasons why he kept a distance, and it just all made sense to me because I thought, now we're entering his worldview and what he's thinking, and it makes sense. Didn't make sense to us before. And he gave the blessing to his son, to the grandchildren. He said, I'm very proud of your dad. He couldn't look at his own son, but he said, I'm proud of your dad. I'm proud of who he became. I'm proud that he chose the path of ministry, which I was so against. I'm proud of your mom for the ways that they have raised you, and I love you, and I love him. And I just had to hold in my tears because it was such a breakthrough, and I thought this was close to 50 years in the making. Intercession, when you pray for people, when you're praying for breakthrough, when you're praying for change of hearts, let's not give up because you don't know how things will unfold 50 years from now. We have a God who never disappoints. And I hope this story will remind you that we gotta keep pressing through in prayer. Don't give up. Have you given up on someone? Have you given up on yourself? What seemed so long without hope, God wants to remind you he is working behind the scenes. You may not see it, but he is a God who is actively working. And he's inviting you, will you continue to push forward and pray faithfully. The last one is intercession requires us to pray with others. Matthew 18, it says, when two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. There are sometimes individuals have a specific prayer burden. And I want to just remind you today, it's important to share at least that prayer burden with at least one other person. It may be difficult to share in a community like this, but we need someone who can say, hey, you are praying along the right path, or I'm not sure if this is aligning to God's will for you. We need that person that is closely walking with the Lord to say, I'm going to join you in prayer, or let's kind of realign your prayer direction. And so I want to ask you, do you have at least one person you can share your burdens with? And it may be that you are in need of intercession. Would you humble yourself and say, hey, I need prayer for myself? Or I'm praying for this. Can you join me in prayer? Because I feel like giving up. I need that extra support. Today, I'm going to have Douglas and Leonora pass these out. In our San Jose campus, we have a Bible reading schedule through a year. And today's psalm falls on Psalm 33, chapter 12 to 22. Psalm 33, verse 12 to 22. As you get this, I'm going to have you just huddle with about four or five people. Can you get up once you get the paper? And what I want to do today is, many of us may not know how to pray for someone else. And so I'm going to just guide you through a simple step of using God's word to stand in the gap for others. And we will read the scripture from this morning's Bible reading schedule. Why don't you read through this psalm, 10 verses together, and there's three things I want you to do. Actually, let's read it all together in one voice. That'll be easier. Ready? Go. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death, to keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help, our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. In your little circle, I know some of you may have never prayed out loud, but I want to challenge you, just do it. Just do it. Because what we're going to pray is simply what you just read, God's word. So I'm just going to have you, we're going to keep it simple. I'm just going to go have you take turns in a circle and just choose one characteristic of God. And we're going to just declare, God, you are the Lord. Or God, you look at us. Or God, you form our hearts. So this will be a very quick round. So can we all just one by one choose one character of the Lord, of God, that you see from the verses you just read, and in your own voice, one by one in your group, let's declare it out loud, okay? Okay, we're going to move on, okay, because of time. The second round, if you didn't get your turn, then you're the next one in this round, okay? The second round is, if you remember when Jesus was being crucified, Jesus repented on behalf of those who are crucifying him. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. So when we stand in the gap for someone, we take their place and we confess on their behalf. So as look through this Bible passage again, consider the people of Mountain View that this church has direct access to. And stand in their place and say, on behalf of the people of Mountain View, I confess that I have relied upon my own strength, or I have relied upon vain hope that cannot save. Okay, so really quick, we take the place of representing people to God in repentance. Round two, let's go. Okay, last round, we're gonna wrap up. Just as Ezekiel prophesied life and flesh upon the dry bones, we have the authority of Christ to bless, to speak life into areas where there is no life, to see how God sees things, not how our physical eye sees things. So use the scripture again and pray for the city of Mountain View, and let's declare God's promises over the city using scripture. So for example, you say, I bless the people of Mountain View that their hope would be in the Lord, that they would be alive and they would be delivered from death and famine. So keep your blessing short and simple, and we're going to do our last round right now in 60 seconds. Ready? Go. This afternoon, we are going to take communion. And communion today comes in a little individual pack. The wafers on the top and the blood of Christ is on the bottom. So this represents the broken body of Jesus and the shed blood of Jesus for you. And just as Jesus lives to make intercession for you, he's inviting you and me to join his ministry of intercession for the loved ones in your life, for the people of Mountain View and beyond. So I want you to have the freedom to come up to take communion. And there are going to be people up in the front here. If you've been asked to pray for people today, I invite you to come up. And as you take communion and you want to really dedicate yourself to intercede, to stand in the gap for a specific person or situation in your life, come up and receive prayer saying, I need prayer because I feel called to stand in the gap for this person. Or if you need us to stand in the gap for you, if you're in a very difficult situation, come on up as well. We want to pray for you. So we're going to leave this time for you to take communion and to receive prayer. And as when you are done, you're released to go upstairs and have dinner. So we just open up the Lord's table for you today.